Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare 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 Krishna Bhagavan Gita 5 chapter 10 verse 16 Tvam Nigudas Charasi Vijanam Vibharshi Sutram Katamo Madhutaha Kasyasi Putratya Nihapi Kasma Chemaya Sanche Asi Nota Shukla Kastvam Nigodas Charasi Vijanam Vibharshi Sutram Katamo Vadutaha Kasyasi Kusratya Ihapi Kasmat
Kasyasi Kusratya Ihapi Kasmat
Shemaya Nascheda Sinota Sukla
Shemaya Nascheda Sinota Sukla
Kasyam
Nigodas Charasi Vijanam Kasyasi Kutratyaha
Vidasmat
Emaya Nasir Nod Suklaha Kastam Negodas Charasidhyana Vivarshidutram Dadamo Vadutaha Kasyasi Kutratyaha
Vidasmat
Shemaya Nasir Nod Suklaha
Kastvam, who are you? Niguda, covered, Charasi, you move within this world. Vijanam, among the Brahman, Vibharshi, you wear Sutram, sacred thread, Adama, which, Avaduta, by the elevated person, Kasyasi, whose are you? Satcha, from where? Ihaapi, here in this place. Kasmat, for what purpose? Jemaya, for the benefit. Na, abhas, chet, if. Asi,
you are.
Nahuta, or not. Sukla, personality in the pure mode of goodness. Translation, King Rahugana said, O Brahmana, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahmana or saintly person? I see that you are wearing the sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints, such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are. Therefore, Maharaj Rahugana was very anxious to receive further enlightenment and Vedic knowledge because he could understand that Jadavara belonged to a Brahmin family either by descendant succession or by birth in a Brahmin family, dynasty. As stated in the Vedas, Tad Vigyanartam Sa Guru Meva Pekachet. Rahugana was accepting Jadavara as a guru, but a guru must prove his position not only by wearing a sacred thread, but by advancing knowledge of spiritual life. It was also interesting that Rahugana asked Jadavara which family he belonged to. There are two types of families, one according to dynasty, another according to succession. In either way, one can be enlightened. The word sukla refers to a person in the mode of goodness. If one wants to receive spiritual knowledge, he must approach a bona fide Brahmana guru, either in the distant succession or in the family of the learned Brahmanas. My dear sir, I am not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpent, the imperious and trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamara and the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kubera. Yet I am afraid of offending a Brahmana. I am very much afraid of this. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami and Dasasvedama Asvamedha, Gat and Prayag, he pointed out very clearly the seriousness of offending a Vaishnava compared to Vaishnava Varadhuva, Hati Mato, or mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it spoils all the fruits and flowers. Similarly, if one offends a Vaishnava, he spoils all his spiritual assets. And offending a Brahman is very dangerous, and this is known. This was known to Maharaj Rahugana. He therefore frankly admitted his fault. There are many dangerous things, thunderbolts, fire, Yamaraj's punishment, the punishment of the Lord Shiva's trident, and so forth, but none is considered as serious as offending a Brahmana like the Chadambara. Therefore, Maharaj Rahugana descended from his palanquin and fell flat before the lotus feet of the Brahmana Chadambara just to be excused. Translation, King Rahugana said, O Brahmana, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahmana and saintly person? I see that you're wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted, liberated saints such as Dattatreya, highly advanced, or scholars? May I ask which disciple you are? Where do you live? Why do you come to this place? Is your mission coming here good for us? Please let me know who you are. My dear sir, I'm not afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, or the weapons of Kubera. Yet I am afraid of any Brahmana. I'm very much afraid of this. So, as a king, King Rahugana was knowledgeable of his position, and he understood that Brahmanas were superior, and therefore if he offended Brahmanas, then it was a big fault on his part as a king.
And we see many examples of that. The story of King Nriga, he offended a Brahmana and then he had to suffer, become a lizard, whatever. And in that story, the emphasis is put upon that one has to respect the Brahmanas, etc. So the king has to set a good example for others, and if he doesn't, then he's very faulty. And we see the example, of course, in later on of King Parikshit offending the Brahmana by putting a snake around his neck, and then he had to suffer for that, whatever, he regretted that activity. And of course, he got cursed. And of course, and we have the example, not a good example, we can say of Ambarish and Durvasamuni. Ambarish apparently somehow offended Durvasa, and therefore Durvasa got angry, but that's not such a justified example. So anyway, the kings had knowledge of the fault of offending a Brahmana. So this, of course, is according to the normal system of Varna and Ashrama. However, as Vaishnavas, we know that worse than that is offending a Vaishnava. And the two cannot be really equated. A Brahmana is not necessarily a Vaishnava. Though we can say a Vaishnava is always a Brahmana because he's superior to a Brahmana by nature, he is transcendental to the modes of material nature. But all Brahmanas are not Vaishnavas. Some may be Shaivites, some may be whatever. Mayavadis, followers of Shankar, etc. So they're not necessarily Vaishnavas. Nevertheless, in the traditional system, the Brahmanas get respect, whether they are Vaishnava or Shaivite or Shankarite or whatever. They are to be respected because they are the section of the society who has knowledge of the Vedas and Upanishads and spiritual life, etc. So the king must duly respect them. Here King Raghuvana follows that principle and he sees the thread upon Zadvara. Of course, that doesn't necessarily mean he is a Brahmana, because Kshatriyas also wear threads and so do Vaishyas. But anyway, he assumed he was a among the Dvijas, he was actually Brahminical. So and at least he was somewhat knowledgeable of Vedas, and he was definitely not a Sudra, because he was wearing a thread. And he was not an outcast, so at least he was a Dvija. He was among the Dvijas, but he was hiding his nature. He actually addresses himself as Buddha. So because he had spoken knowledge of Atma, etc., therefore the king concluded that he was actually hiding his real nature. And he was very, very elevated, completely detached from the material world, but he was simply acting like a dumb person or whatever. So therefore he understood that he was actually very, very elevated, and therefore he addresses him as Avaduta. Then he realizes also that he offended him. So he recognizes his position as an elevated person, and at the same time he also understands that if one offends such an elevated person, then one is in great danger. So here he particularly mentions Brahmakula, that he was Brahminical in nature, and if one offends such a person, then it is very, very serious. That's the normal conduct or principle in a Vedic society with Varnashram. Everyone has to respect the Brahmana. But at the same time, we also know that higher than the Brahmana is the Vaishnava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that very clear, that we have different types of people, and of course we have animals and stuff, and animals and human beings, and human beings, those who follow Varnashram Dharma are better. Those who follow Varnashram properly are better, and those who are Brahmins are better, and those who are Vaishnavas are better. So therefore the Vaishnava is better than the Brahmana. He may be a Brahmana, but he is a superior class to him. So therefore the Vaishnava is even in a higher position. So what to speak of offending a Brahmana? If one offends a Vaishnava, it's even worse. So the result of offending a Brahmana is sin. So the we do a sin and we get a karmic reaction. So in the case of King Nurga, he had become a lizard as a result of that. So then after that punishment was over, he could get out of that body. Offending a Vaishnava is a little different. Of course, it is also sinful, and therefore one has to suffer physically or whatever. But worse than that is that it destroys bhakti or prevents bhakti from growing, which for the Vaishnava is even more serious. So the Vaishnava doesn't care if he goes to the hell or whatever, but if he's still got devotion, fine, then he can worship the Lord in hell also. Or Jagvara, even as a deer, was thinking of the Lord. So the devotee doesn't worry about what body he's in, which he may get as a result of sin, but he does worry about the fact that his devotion decreases or gets destroyed. That is serious. So by offending a Vaishnava, that is the really serious effect, that one's devotion decreases or gets destroyed. Simply offending a Brahmana doesn't do that, but offending a Vaishnava, this will happen. So there's a little bit of a distinction here. Offending a Vaishnava is even more serious because one's devotional capacity is stopped or impeded in some way. So we may have to make a distinction there. But here, as far as the king is concerned, he doesn't make too much of a distinction. He simply says that he's a Brahmin, so I've offended a Brahmin, etc. But we also know that Jagvara was a devotee of the Lord because he was worshipping Vishnu when he was Bharat, etc. And he understood that bhakti is the highest, and of course his father was Rishabhadev, who was also teaching about devotion to the Lord. So therefore he actually was a Vaishnava as well as the so-called Brahmin family, who was also a Vaishnava. So the offense, therefore, was not just offending a Brahmana, it was also offending a Vaishnava, even more serious. So, of course, King Rahugana did it somewhat accidentally, because he didn't know that Jagvara was a result of Vaishnava, or even a Brahmana. He was hiding himself. At the same time, it was not completely accidental, because the king should have also been a little discreet in the words he used in scolding a particular person, even though he was simply a palanquin bearer or whatever. So he used his sarcastic words against him, somewhat uncontrolled. So, therefore, the lesson we have to learn from this is that a person, if he wants to advance in devotional service, has to be very careful about offending the Vaishnava. And he may not recognize the Vaishnava, and still he has to be very careful about offending. So we have to be respectful as possible to all living entities, because we don't know who they are. So Bharat was a deer in one lifetime also, so if we offend the deer, even then we're in a problem. So not only human beings, but even animals, we don't know who the person is in past life or whatever. So therefore the general prescription is that the Vaishnava, one of the angas of bhakti, is one does not disturb other living entities. So we minimize disturbing other creatures, human beings or animals or even plants. And we give proper respect to other living entities. We don't unnecessarily interfere. So this will help us avoid aparads against devotees who may not be visible to us, and maybe in other bodies, whatever, maybe hiding for some reason. So we have to be careful. And as for Vaishnavas themselves, we know our Vaishnavas, and we also have to be very careful. And that is why Lord Chaitanya has given the warning. That is, if we know somebody's a Vaishnava, then we have to avoid the offense. Obviously, if we don't know, it's difficult to do anything. All we did was respect everyone. But if we know they're a Vaishnava, then we have to be careful to avoid that offense of speaking or actions or whatever. Because this will not only have sinful reaction in terms of suffering, but it will also decrease or destroy the bhakti, whatever is there. So, King Rahugana was, of course, not an evil person. He was following properly as much as he could, but he made this mistake somehow or other. And therefore, he is repentant. He understands his mistake and he repents his activity and he apologizes to Jagvara. So that actually is the proper way of making amends for offense, that one apologizes and repents one's activity after understanding the mistake. That is the proper procedure. And if that is done, then the effect of offense is minimized. And if one doesn't follow that procedure, then the effect of the offense remains and one's bhakti begins to decrease and whatever. So this is a good example of someone who commits an offense and then takes the proper procedure. And we see ultimately then the result was very good, because Jadvara spoke again to the Rahugana and he gave him more teachings. So. And Rahugana actually got great benefit from that. So therefore, the offense was mitigated and Rahugana got great advantage and mercy from Jadvara. So the example shows the proper procedure of rectifying offense. And then the result of that one can actually get mercy again. So in this way, Rahugana absolved his offense and got great benefit from the teachings of Jadvara.
What if Rahugana would not have offended there? Never, he would not have got invited in the
session. Oh, that's, maybe not, we don't know.
My dear, Yamraj and Indra mentioned that he's not afraid of their weapons. But Yamraj is also a great Vaishnava.
Oh, well, here he's thinking of getting punished by Yamaraj, that's all, in terms of karma. So that is basically according to sins, having to suffer for sinful reactions. For she was also a Vaishnava.
I spoke
of
that to the approach of bona fide.
Yeah, that's not strictly correct, because we see that Narottam wasn't a guru, a Brahman, and of course Prabhupada wasn't a Brahman, and Bhaktisiddhanta wasn't, and Bhaktivinoda wasn't either. None of them were. Now, of course, we see in Harinam Chintamani there, Bhaktivinoda does say that, and also in Jaya Dharma, that if possible, one accepts from a Brahmana family, but if they're not there, then one can accept from other Varnas, or even if they're not in Varna, whatever. The main item is the spiritual advancement. But to take a Brahman guru is no spiritual advancement, then that's also useless. So, therefore, it's not so strictly one takes from a Brahman guru. But according to convention, then it's more or less emphasized, preferable, they say.
This means when there's a Brahman, he doesn't follow the Brahmanic qualities, he's not fit to be a Brahman. The same can apply to Vaishnava also. So if you explain Vaishnava mentally, you're not practicing Vaishnava.
Yeah, that's to be taken for understood. When we talk about a real Vaishnava, we're talking about Vaishnava, we're talking about a real Vaishnava, not a fake Vaishnava. Now the thing, of course, is that the Vaishnava doesn't have the same status as a Brahmana, because Brahmana is usually, they're called Brahmana by birth or whatever, where it's not necessarily Vaishnava, we just take it by their beliefs. You know, same. But of course, if they can pretend, that's also not proper.
Yeah.